Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
So let's take Dr. Tumi, Fourth Man in the Fire, followed by 3C Live, featuring Archibald Nkulu, Unstoppable, crossing over to Pastor Nozipora Okolota with The Enemies of Purpose.
The Bible teaches us that every single human being born on earth has a purpose, the purpose of God upon their lives, an assignment that God puts upon their lives long before they're even born, to fulfill on earth. And we know that the enemy, though, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So he will try to contaminate or kill or destroy the purpose that God has put upon people's lives, to frustrate the plans of God. We see this with the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately after he had been baptized, and God the Father has said, "This is my son, hear him." And the Holy Spirit has set upon him, and everybody sees that this is the Son of God. Even nature can testify to that. Then the first thing he does is come and says, "If you truly are the Son of God, then turn the stones to bread." He's challenging the purpose that Jesus came to fulfill. So the enemy will come and try and kill or steal or contaminate the purposes of God upon people's lives. And he uses several manners to do this. And so these are the five enemies of your purpose. There are more, but these are the ones I will discuss with you. The first one is fear. The Bible tells us how the man who was given one talent, he was afraid of his master. And when he comes back, when the master comes back and all the others, they bring back their talents, he has nothing to show. He takes the same thing that was given for him to go and invest and multiply. He brings it back and says, "Just as you gave it to me, here is your talent back." And that is what fear would like for us to do. It cripples people not to be able to walk into everything that God has for them. We see this in the life of Elijah. God has put this great gift upon him. He's a prophet of the Lord. He's performing miracles in front of the whole nation of Israel. But when an enemy arises and challenges him directly, he runs away. And his whole purpose, before it is fully fulfilled, he asks for the Lord. He just wants to die. And the Lord takes him up to heaven. Even in those last moments, God gives him a few more assignments because God was not done with him. He says, "Go and anoint this person. Go and get someone to replace you. Go." So God was not done. His purpose was not fulfilled yet, but he was afraid of Jezebel's threats. So he abandoned his purpose and went to heaven early. Another person we see who was crippled by fear is Moses. The Bible says in the book of Acts 7:22 that Moses was powerful in speech and action. He had been educated in the best schools in Egypt, in the royal house. And he was aware of his calling and he tried to fulfill it by himself without partnering with God, and he was rejected. So when God sends him back now to go and fulfill the same purpose that he knew was in him in the first place, he comes with excuses. The first one is he says, I can't speak, I'm not eloquent. And yet the Bible says he was powerful in speech and action. So he was a powerful man, he was equipped for the assignment, but his previous rejection was scary to him. So he keeps challenging God, like, they won't believe me. What if they don't believe me? Send someone else, because he's afraid to walk into the place that hurt him in the first place. So fear has a way of crippling people not to fulfill their callings. But over and over again, you hear the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "Fear not, fear not." Whenever the word of the Lord comes, he says, "Fear not," because he knows fear will come. And the things of the spirit can be daunting as well. So you need not to walk in fear, but in faith. The second thing is unbelief. We see this in the life of Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. When the angel comes, when Gabriel comes and tells him, "You're going to have a son," his previous disappointments cause him to struggle in believing that God is able to give him that. And so what does the angel do? He closes his mouth. You're going to be mute because you are going to start to speak against the things that God wants to say because you don't believe the things that God is saying. We see this also with the 12 spies. They went in to see the land that God had promised. And then 10 of them came back with unbelief, forgetting who God was. They saw things in the natural and they were so scared that they said, there's no way, we are not going in. This was God's promise. This was the whole reason they had come on this trip. But God ended up having to send them back into the wilderness to sift them until those who had unbelief were gone from the people so that they could come back and possess the land. And the generation that comes with Joshua, the first thing God says to Joshua is, you must be strong and courageous. Because if you're not courageous, your fear is going to sabotage the act that God wants to fulfill through you. So the second thing is unbelief. The third thing is the one that we see in the life of Zechariah again. The angel closes his mouth so that he cannot speak against what God is doing. And his mouth only opens, his speech only opens once the purpose of God through him has been fulfilled. When we speak words, we are creating in the spirit. And God hears, and the enemy's camp also hears, and they can act upon the words that you speak. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and we all know this. And the Bible says in the book of Numbers, God hears the people of Israel complaining, saying, we should have just died in the wilderness. Why are you bringing us here? And God says, just as you have spoken while I was listening in my hearing, so I will do to you. We see this also in the book of Malachi, Malachi 3, that the Bible says the people repented. And God heard them speaking one to another that they were repenting. And God credited that to them. He said, in the future, they are going to be mine. In the future, I'm going to bless them because they feared the Lord and they acted according to his will. And the fourth thing is relationships. The people that you allow into your space. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. So it means this tree cannot bear fruit if it's planted in the wrong places. You know, Jesus was followed by crowds, but he did not reveal all his, he was not close and reveal all the parables and everything to the whole crowd. There were crowds, there were the 70, there was the 12, and there was the 3. And he had his one-on-one time with God. It is important, the people that you keep close to you. The Bible tells us about the two women, both mothers, and the one that was sober almost lost her own baby because she kept company with the roomie who was irresponsible. They were not of the same flock. They were not birds of the same flock, but they stayed together. And so the contamination almost caused her to lose her baby as well. We see Elizabeth and Mary as well. They have the same thing. They have the purpose of God in their womb, and they come together and form a relationship. And you see how it encourages both of them. And even, you know, God confirms his word to Mary through the baby in Elizabeth's womb, because this was a godly relationship. The final thing that I'm going to mention is procrastination. The Bible says we do not know the hour or the day that Christ is going to come back. And he says in the book of Matthew 24, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Jesus says what? Occupy until I come. Let us occupy our position. Let us occupy our assignments until he comes. Time is a gift. Let us not waste it. And this is the Word Bite for today.
Hear the Word and renew your life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.